The Fine and Cannibals on over 103.5, your life, your music. It's a Tuesday morning on a shortened week, so that sounds pretty good. Lots coming up, of course. Speaking of things coming up, I'm really excited, being a cricket fan myself. I've got Johan Muller in the studio. He is the CEO of Cricket Namibia. Johan, good morning. It's good to talk to you a couple of days away from a great triangular series that's on the way.
Yeah, you're so right. It's great being with you again, Dion. Thank you for having me. It's an exciting tournament coming up. But before we've got the tournament, we've got a Walvis Bay Salt Youth Tournament at the coast,
yes,
with more than 32 teams playing in there. So it's quite a busy time in the build-up to that lovely tri-series that we've got starting next week.
Tell me the younger series now in Walvis Bay. When is that happening? Is that this coming weekend?
It's this coming weekend. The teams start playing on Thursday all the way through to Sunday. Different age groups, on a 13 boys, on a 13 girls, on a 19 women. And then we've got the under 11s 2 weeks later.
Okay. So that's, of course, part of the program to get cricket out to so many people. I actually saw a write-up on ESPN Crick Info in which they said it must be the best youth tournament or youth drive in the world if you look at proportionally the number of people in Namibia versus the number of youngsters who were exposed to cricket. And I mean, that's a great compliment.
Yeah, Dion, it was a compliment. We actually received the ICC award for best participation program, of which 69,000 kids played cricket in Namibia last year, which means it's one out of every five primary school kids in the country. Which is an exceptional ratio.
And of course, you know, we're talking about the tri-series now and Pakistan and India and the World Cup coming up and all that. And part of their strength, these countries, is that they have big populations and they have huge exposure to cricket. So if there's a little gem in there somewhere, you're going to scoop that gem. It's not like here where for many years, you know, people fell by the wayside. Potential world-class players, we never knew about them.
Yeah, you're so right. I think the fact that that a lot of our players leave for universities in other countries also makes that there's an outflow of our best players at the time when they're actually ready to start playing for the national men's side.
Yeah.
So those are some challenges we're trying to breach. And like you said, we're a small population, so we have to take care of what we've got because the talent isn't after or behind every bush. That's correct.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, you know, you got the David Vises of the world, but he came back.
Correct.
You'd rather he played for us right through, even when he was younger, when he was playing outside. And I think the high profile of Namibian cricket now, and the profile growing all the time, and their achievements, I think that makes it more likely for players to stay here. That we're not like, you know, we're not like the Free State when it comes to rugby. They nurture the talent,
correct,
and whoop, they go somewhere else.
No, you're so correct. And we've been receiving quite a lot of Namibians who's students in South Africa that applying to come back again.
That
has been schooled here, that played their cricket here.
Yeah.
But they see a future for them here, and they see that we're playing on world stages. And I think that's a big drawing card.
All right, so let's talk about the tri-series. It was going to be four teams, but the Indian side fell out because of rules they have regarding T20. So we've got a tri-series. We've got a Namibian side, and then, of course, we have a team from South Africa, and we have a team from Pakistan.
Yes, it's actually it's our commercial model. A lot of other countries that you would have seen started these T20 competitions,
yes,
where they attract marquee players from across the world, and they pay them quite high values to play, and because they've got those players, they can sell the rights for a lot more. So it's a commercial model. Ours, we cannot have that financial risk because most of those competitions only break even after 6 years.
Yeah.
So we had to look at a model that has got far less risk but still attract the same caliber of player. So we invited specific teams of top playing countries with the aim of getting those players in a team environment with their team here, with that you also already has got an established fan base.
Yeah.
So there's interest in it, and then we sell those rights commercially via digital rights, broadcasting rights, different TV rights, etc. The second part of the tournament is that we use it as a preparation for a World Cup. We play against different players. We play against different skill sets, quicker bowlers, better spinners. And that is part of how we prepare for this up-and-coming T20 World Cup. But it's exciting to have the Lower Qualanders here. They're the best team in Pakistan. They won a PSL last year. They play with quite a number of Pakistan regular players. And we've got a good relationship build-up with them currently. Four of our players were in Pakistan now and preparing with them.
They've probably got a huge academy there that our players could kind of tie into, yeah?
Correct. So it was a completely change in setup. So we sent three of our spinners there to learn the track.
Learning it from the best, because
correct,
I tell you, they can make it do magic. It's amazing what they can do with the ball.
Definitely. So that's part of the program. And then we've got the DP World Lions from Joburg, which is one of the better sides in South Africa. Yeah. They're bringing six pro tiers, of which one is the national captain, Themba Bavuma.
Oh, wow. All right, so at what sort of size would you want it to be now, given that it's that's foreign teams? And I'm sure some of those countries would see it as part of a of their commitment to helping associate countries. If you say to them, listen, guys, we can't pay you a fortune, but how about you guys come play on our stage? What would you like to see? How many teams internationally would you like to see in a tournament?
Dion, it's a good question. We want to grow this steadily, what we can do. Remember, we need to produce it ourselves through a Kramer production team and then sell the rights. We also need infrastructure to be
There has to be filming. There has to be people who know what they're doing in terms of, you know, the cutoffs and all of that. And filming it and broadcasting something like that is a whole different ballgame. It's not as simple as, you need two cameras and you sort it.
No, definitely not. We're currently broadcasting with eight cameras, of which six is manned and completely moving around. So completely TV production quality. But we are having three teams like in this season. We're looking at four teams the season after that. Hopefully our World Cup stadium will be close to being ready the year after it, so that we can go into six teams. But we want to steadily grow this into a commercial income stream for us.
And of course it's important to sell the rights outside of the country, but it's all about local support.
Correct.
Because there's nothing worse than watching a massive cricket game wherever in the world and there's one or two people sitting in the stands. That you don't want to see.
No, for sure. It's definitely attracted some international interest. That's for sure. We also contracted an international marketing agency to do that. But you're so right. Local support, people in the stadium, those things is important to create a vibe.
And of course, the biggest thing with that now is coming up, the Triangular Series. We know about going out there and watching those games, and in many days there are double headers, which is really nice. You get to watch two games, and in the meantime, you have something to eat, something to drink, sit and talk rubbish, whatever. But Pledge for Pink is one of those days. Is it the 4th of September, right?
Yes, we're having Pink Day. Yeah, the Sunday afternoon. It's Pink Day, the APS Pink Day. It's part of the Pledge for Pink campaign that we've got the Pink Day. Then we've got the Windhoek Fashion Show Pink Ball Night. It's quite a long name. And then a Pupkewitz Motors Pink Golf Day in November. Yeah.
All right, and all this, of course, is just about the support for cancer, the fight against cancer, but also about just building a little bit of team spirit, getting the country behind the players, because the World Cup is coming up. You know, there's so much going on, we forget that in a couple of months' time, they're playing on the world stage again.
No, you're so right. It is part of a campaign that we want to raise awareness for cancer, but also, like we did last year, donate finances back to them to help them in their causes. They're a wonderful organization, well-run organization, and that's why we're partnering with them. And we hope that we can contribute. We've been on the receiving end and very privileged in the last 3 years from a lot of corporate entities to support cricket, and we want to give back, and this is part of our campaign.
Ons gesels met Johan Miller, hy is hoofuitvoerende beampte van Cricket Namibia. Johan, in terme van die voorbereiding vir die Wêreldbeker, waar staan jy? Ek meen, almal hou natuurlik duim vas dat niemand seer kry nou nie, want ons kom nou so naby aan die punt, daar's nie baie tyd vir herstel nie, maar is julle op track, is julle waar julle wil wees?
Johan, ons het besonder baie cricket gespeel hierdie jaar. Ons het en spesifiek met 'n doel. Daar was sekere reekse wat ons diepte getoets het, wat ons spelers gespeel het wat nommer 15, 16 tot 20 was, juis om jonger spelers te ontwikkel en ons basis uit te brei. Dan was daar reekse soos die Zimbabwe reeks en hierdie komende tri-series wat ons wil begin die top 15, 16 ouens regkry vir die Wêreldbeker. Ons het direk na hierdie kompetisie vlieg ons Papua New Guinea toe vir 'n 50 over kompetisie, dan ons terug vir 4 dae.
Hulle is ook op omtrent dieselfde vlak as ons. Hulle is ook 'n associate land, is dit reg?
Korrek. So hoe dit werk is, jy het die 12 top lande en dan jy die volgende 8 associates en dis waar ons speel, so lande tot by nummer 19 in wêreldranglys. En Papua New Guinea is een van daai lande. Dan is ons terug vir 3 dae en dan is ons op pad Wêreldbeker toe wat ons vir 7 dae gaan prep in Wangaratta. En dan van daar af die 9de begin die ICC voorbereiding.
Groot tye en groot dae. Natuurlik wil 'n mens jou spelers blootstel en baie van die core was al reeds daar gewees. Maar jy wil nie dat die jong ouetjies skielik daar sit en is big match temperament van those it. Jy weet, dit is 'n groot ding, dis Wêreldbeker en skielik vergeet jy alles wat jy geleer het. So mens wil hê dat hulle blootgestel word dan voordat jy daar kom.
En blootgestel word om teen groot spelers en spanne te speel. Ja. Dit is deel van die voorbereiding. Ek moet wel sê, ek dink verlede jaar was die off-field goed wat aangaan het rondom die Wêreldbeker vir ons spelers oorweldigend. Dit was die eerste keer wat hulle so iets gefeis het. En ek het daar gesit in die volkslied gesing die eerste game en ek het by myself gedink, ek gaan nie nou reg wees om hierdie eerste bal te vuis nie. Ek is hopeloos te angstig.
Ja, moet jy kneel en al sulke dinge.
Ek weet nie Steven Baar het reg gekry om 'n 4 te slaan van die derde bal nie, maar ek dink hierdie jaar is daar aansienlike voorbereiding in terme van hulle weet wat hulle verwag. So die hele konsep van wat van die veld afgaan is nie meer 'n distraction nie, dit is iets wat hulle nou weet wat gaan kom. En meerderheid van die spelers wat leraar gespeel het is weer in die setup vir hierdie jaar.
Ja. Kyk, dis 'n groot gedeelte daarvan wat baie mense, jy weet, ek dink agterlaat of in die ou dae agtergelaat het, die sielkundige voorbereiding, sodat jy weet wat as jy gemaklik is, as jy gerus is, dan is dit jy en jy speel 'n wedstryd. Maak nie saak hoe groot die wedstryd is nie of hoe groot die spelers is nie, maar hy's net nog 'n ou wat 'n bal na jou toe. Speel die bal soos wat hy na jou toe gebal word, liewer as dis een van Pakistan se beste. Ooh, wêreld. Jy maak dit vir jouself baie moeilik.
Mense is geneig om dit te doen, is dit?
Natuurlik, ja, doen dit.
Jy blaas dit op in jou in jou kop totdat jy hierdie ouens meer gereeld begin speel. Dan besef jy hy's eintlik maar net 'n speler soos wat jy is.
Seker.
Hy's net meer gesien en jy weet wat hy op TV doen en jy sien sy balspoet aan die onderkant van die TV en ongelukkig
daai stats is altyd 'n kyk op die skerm. Wow.
Ja, is redelik belangrik, nee, maar definitief het ons spelers meer emosioneel voorbereid vir hierdie jaar as verlede jaar.
En kyk, dis waar dit gaan. Aan die einde van die dag het jy senior spelers wat dit gaan afstuur na die jonger spelers toe en hulle rustiger maak en so aan. Correct. En dis al wat dit gaan oor blootstelling. Hoe meer op die wêreld verhoog speel, hoe beter word jy. Vir die eenvoudige rede jy is gewoond aan wat om jou aangaan. Net blitsvinnig en dit niks met cricket nou meer te doen nie. Ja. Suid-Afrika wat die eerste toets gewen het teen Engeland op Lords in 3 dae. Ek moet sê ek was verbaas.
Ja, dit is interessant om te sien wat in Engelandse toets cricket gebeur. Hulle het 'n nuwe afrigter aangestel en hulle wil 'n nuwe brand van cricket in toetsreekse begin speel. Ek weet nie of dit vir hulle al werk of nie werk nie, maar hulle het definitief 'n ander mindset in toets cricket ingebring. Ek dink die Proteas het besonder goed gebal en dit het moeilik gemaak vir Engeland om terug te kom.
Hulle praat al klaar van die nuwe, jy weet, die West Indies daar in die 80er jare waar daai 4 snel bowlers gehad het wat almal so bang was voor. Hulle praat van Suid-Afrika moontlik dat hulle 4 blitse weer en daai en dis goed om te sien. Suid-Afrika vir 'n rukkie het gesukkel. En dit lyk my hulle is nou stadig maar seker weer besig, maar nou weer, dit gaan oor die administrasie. As die dinge agter die skerms goed gaan, gaan dit beter op die veld.
Dit het definitief 'n impak. Hulle is deur 'n moeilike tyd agter die skerms in spesifiek in terme van hulle span dinamika en is lekker om te sien dat hulle weer is waar hulle altyd was in wêreld cricket. Maar jy kan ook sien dat Bouncer 'n baie spesifieke doel het met hoe sy span kies. Hy kies 4 snel bowlers en 'n spinner, waar baie ouens net 3 snel bowlers kies. So sy doel is letterlik om 20 paltjies te vat in die toets te wen.
En dit snaaks, want dit was altyd die ding gewees. Jy weet, hierdie Alan Donalds van die wêreld deur die jare gehad het, het jy gekyk na wie kan vir my 20 paltjies gee? Is dit 'n spinner, is dit 2 spinners, wat is die kombinasie? Liewer as hoeveel lopies kan jy kry in hierdie hele baseball cricket wat jy nou van praat. Ja, ek dink so. Kyk, die feit dat jy T20 het en jy het 50 balbeer cricket, alles is die kolwerk is besig om vinniger te gebeur. Jy slaan meer balle, jy teken meer lopies aan. Dit sal maar seker op 'n stadium moet deurdring na toets cricket ook.
Ja.
Maar dan gaan jou fokus weer moet wees. Hoe neem jy die paaltjies? Want om 600 in 'n eerste beurt te jaag is moeilik.
Ja.
Maar om 20 paaltjies te neem is dalk makliker. Ek weet nie, met beter bowlers.
Wel, jy wen net die game as jy 20 paaltjies vat.
Verseker, ja, anders kan jy hom glad nie wen, maak saak hoe veel lopies jy.
Presies.
Ja, aanteken nie. So, ja, miskien is dit weer 'n goeie herfokus. En sê 'n bietjie vir my die plaaslike ouens nou, ons span hier, hou hulle oorseese ouens dop, hou hulle oorseese spanne dop. Ek meen Suid-Afrika is ons bure. Ja. Hulle kyk seker self baie cricket.
Wel, dis wat hulle doen, dis wat vir hulle lief is. So ek is baie seker van dat die TV anders op die ander op die oomblik en wanneer daar
strikte
gang is. Ek dink die uitgang het die uitgangspunt het verander in die laaste 3 jaar waar hulle voorheen net cricket gekyk het en nou kyk hulle cricket met die opset van ek gaan hierdie ou heel moontlik face in die volgende jaar, so hoe gaan ek hom speel?
Nou is dit amper meer 'n tegniese nie net 'n entertainment nie. Jy kyk na hoe gaan ek teen hom speel, hoe bou ek teen hom die klas van dinge.
Precies.
En dan net blitsvinnig nog een ding, hoe beskou die mans Eagles, hoe beskou hulle die vrouens? Want die vrouens doen goed op hierdie stadium en ek dink dis goed om te sien dat dit ook aan die groei is.
Ja, ons Capricorn Eagles het 'n besonderse jaar gehad. Ja. Ons het 2 uitstekende reekse gespeel. Ons is nou 'n bietjie af met hulle en ons speel ons vroeg in volgende jaar weer teen Dubai in Nepal en dan is daar 'n paar kwalifiserende kompetisies. Maar ons is verskriklik trots op die vordering in ons vroue program, dogters en vroue. En ons manspan het baie respek vir ons vroue, want dit wat hulle gedoen het in die laaste 2 jaar van waar hulle gekom het tot nou toe is enormes. En soortgelyk as wat in die mans spel gebeur het waar ons in 3 jaar verskillende baie groei getoon het, is besig om te gebeur in die vroue spel.
Ja, daar sê dis die Capricorn Eagles, die vroue en natuurlik die Richelieu Eagles, die mans.
Correct.
En ons sien baie van hulle een van die dae in aksie in die 3 hoekige reeks. Dit skop af op die 1 September.
Correct.
En dan natuurlik Pledge for Pink, #PledgeForPink. Dis Sondag die vierde, allemaal dra pink, en mans kan ook pink dra, hoor, Frikkie, ek sê, ek dra die pink nie, dan sit die pink cap op, is alright, yeah. Hoor.
Uitstekend, lekker die, want is lekker om by hulle te wees.
Altijd lekker om hier te gesels, dankie en sterkte, en ja, ons sien julle langs die cricketveld.
Baie dankie.